Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everybody. I want to talk about the act of contrition today. Remember, we did the first Sunday of Lent penance, second Sunday of Lent the Confiteor, today the act of contrition. I don't think I'm going to be up here next week. There's going to be somebody else here. But next time I come on a Sunday, or I'm here on a Sunday, we're here together, I want to talk about questions of conscience and confession, if you don't mind, okay? These are things we rarely talk about from the pulpit. You know, the act of contrition, many of us, especially those of us who are older, learned it when we were young, and a lot of younger people don't know any. And a lot of older people have forgotten it. You get both these things happening. It's the one that you say after you say your confession. You know, the priest will turn to you and say, "Please say your act of contrition." And I find about maybe 50% of the people that come don't know it. And I either say it along with me or hand them a card or something and so forth. But that's when you usually say it. Sometimes I've said it, though, when I'm riding my bicycle, okay? If I get on a road that's too full of cars and too little room for bicycles, I say, "This is it, God, I'm going. Oh, my God, I'm sorry," you know, and I'm pedaling down the way there. And especially in Kentucky, where I was at like about 20 years ago, because I realize a lot of people there drink bourbon for breakfast, you know, and then go driving. Anyhow, I remember saying the act of contrition on my bicycle once here in town. I went up Ashland, you know, by the schools there, and I came down Division Road that comes down by the train station near New Providence there, and I didn't realize how steep the hill was and how bad the road was. There were potholes. I thought if I hit one of those potholes, it's all over. So I'm riding down the hill going, "Oh, my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you." Anyhow, last week when we talked about the Confiteor, I talked about those Irish sins, right? Sins of omission, like O'Malley, O'Hara, and the rest of those guys, okay? And I said, you know, sometimes it's good to know that there's a lot more that God gives to us that we don't respond to. And so to call ourselves great sinners is to say, God, and I put it this way, you've given us the superpowers of faith, hope, and charity, and we hardly even got them going, okay? And so you and I can stand. But the phrase that comes out in the act of contrition about this is, "I have not loved you, my God, who are all good and worthy of all my love." That's an infinite love that God calls us into in loving Him. And so there's always room in this life to grow more. And to turn away from that, to turn away from the source of all goodness, is a pretty grave, you know, is pretty deep. So that's why we can call ourselves great sinners. And I said, well, you know, we all don't have to be in the same class as Adolf Hitler or Joe Stalin to say we're great sinners. But today, when we talk about the act of contrition, I want you and I to put our place into Adolf Hitler and Joe Stalin, or if you wish, Benito Mussolini or Franco, you know, Francisco Franco. Go into confession. Imagine being down at Sterling there, and, you know, and Adolf is in front of you and Joe's behind you, and you go like, oh, my God, I don't want to be in their shoes when they get to the priest, you know. Well, I've only killed 2 million people this last week, you know. But anyhow, confession is necessary for mortal sins. We know that. This is part of the story. And the penance, as we've said before, is so our hearts change. It's not the beating of a beast. It's not the punishment of a dog. It's for a child to grow in relationship to God, the church, and other people. Okay, this is what's going on in a penance. So the act of contrition that I usually use is one that I've memorized and understood, and so I make it up every time because I know the elements of it. I go, oh my God, I'm heartily sorry. And every once in a while in confession, I hear people go, I'm hardly sorry, you know. And I can understand that because part of the story is you wish you were sorrier, okay. But the notion is, I really know I've sinned, especially when it comes to a mortal sin, okay. I'm in trouble because I really did this. I chose to do it. I knew it was wrong, and I did it anyhow, okay. And so the notion is, at the beginning of this, and let me read the new translation of that that's given in the catechism. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended thee. I detest all my sins because of thy just punishments. I'm going to change those phrases there here for an older phrase in a second. But most of all, they offend thee, my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to sin no more and to avoid the occasions of sin. Amen. So if Adolf or Joe got in there, they have to say, I'm here at least because I know my sins merit me hell. I detest my sins because of thy just punishments. The old phrase that I use is goes like this. Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you. I fear the loss of heaven, and I dread the pains of hell. That puts the big things up there right first, doesn't it? I detest my sins means I hate the sins, and I'm going, yeah, I'm here. If I was like Joe Stalin and Adolf Hitler and, you know, whatever, I'm here because I don't want to go to hell, God, okay? I'm not sure I hate my sins yet, but at least I don't want to go to hell. That's the minimum, you know, that gets us in there. And we get that from the superpower of our faith, don't we? That tells us, you know, I did something wrong, and I clearly have to come to God because He's the only one who can forgive me for doing it, okay? So, now, I've heard different phrases of this. Down in Louisville, everybody used the long one. Oh, my God, I'm heartily sorry for having offended you. I fear the loss of heaven. Now, every once in a while, I hear somebody go, I fear the lost of heaven. And as far as I can make out, they believe in zombies that come out of their closet at night. We're the lost of heaven. We come to scare you, okay? But nevertheless, I fear the loss of heaven and dread because I've committed a mortal sin. This is Joe and Adolf sitting there going to confession, okay? And then the deeper thing is, and this comes from the superpowers that are meant to be in our soul and alive all the time. We were really meant to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the act of contrition takes us from what we call attrition, I'm sorry about that, to mentioning contrition, sorry about everything because what it does is disconnect me from you, my God, the only God. Our hearts were made for him. It's almost a marital phrase, isn't it? We are made to love, honor, and worship him. And all of those things are extremely deep, and they can be inside of us in more and more positive and wonderful ways all of our life long. Psalm 51 says something about this in contrition. A humble and contrite heart God will not spurn. And St. Thomas picks this up as the key for you and me in confession. Now, say you were Adolf and Joe coming in for, you know, I've killed a couple of people this week. And you go like, I can go to hell. I'm really not sorry about it in the deepest way. My heart really isn't moved. As a matter of fact, you know, somebody may find themselves in confession because they let their prayer life go dry. And all of a sudden they go into, you know, doing this or that or something else that, you know, doesn't need to be mentioned today. And you go like, oh, the love of God that they were cooking has gone cold. So you can come into confession cold. When the priest says, I absolve you of your sins, he's speaking in the name of Jesus. Okay, there's only two times we get to do that, at consecration and absolution. And Jesus says at that moment, through those words to you and your heart, I'm going to pay, put the bill on me, so to speak. My love is going to stand with wherever your heart is at that moment. My perfect love of God is going to be joined to where you are when you come into confession. And in a sense, the act of contrition comes most fully when you and I are joined to Jesus at that moment. I absolve you of your sins. Okay? He supplies his love when you and I don't want what is right in the most perfect way. He comes to us at that point. This is really remarkable because this floors me. He, in a way, loves us most powerfully and radically in those moments when we are the weakest and worst we could possibly be. How bad off can you be? A baptized person that's turned away from Jesus, turned away from God. Man, who else do you have to cry for help? And he says, I'm there. I'm there with a priest. Trust, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to reach into your heart. And guess what else as that is being said is my love is there open for you to change your heart. So as you come to my forgiveness, I'm also going to draw you into a love that starts changing your heart when you're doing your amends, when you're doing your satisfaction, when you're doing your penance. Okay? So it's not go out and rip off the three Our Fathers and three Hail Marys. It's go out and do them with the notion that Jesus is now wanting to reach into my heart and change it, transfigure it. Not just move the furniture around, but make it glow with new love. That's a pretty remarkable thing. And that's the reason the church says you got to go there because you can't get sanctifying grace, if you've lost it, without the help of Jesus. And this is the clearest, most perfect way to do that. And even, guess what? I've had this happen a couple times to myself, and I do this all the time. If I'm on my way to confession, what I start doing is I start doing penance before I go. Okay, and I find my heart start warming up and more and more and more. And I go into confession and I say, Lord Jesus, seal this. Seal it. Make it right. Make it deeper. You know, and so, he knows my sorrow from when I've decided to turn and go home like the prodigal son, right? Okay. But this is the moment when the embrace happens. I've been in confessions with people like 35, 40 years. In mortal sin. Whew.
It's His love
that draws us back. It's not something to be afraid of. So what happens? Okay, what happens? Now He says, out of my love, I'm going to forgive your sin. Okay, now the biggest part of that sin is being cut off from heaven, right? We call that eternal debt, your eternal guilt. Okay, that's forgiven. What's left is Him encouraging us to build up our relationship with Him and others now through our satisfaction, through our amends, through our acts of penance. And so we call that temporal debt or temporal punishment. Those are the words that are used for that because they're short of heaven. But they have to do with how I've distorted myself, cut myself off from the church, and done not good things to the rest of humanity, even besides the church. Okay? And so what I do in my amends is I try to make that up as best as justice and prudence helps me to do that. But the one that's wide open is my heart to God, right? I can't always go back to my old girlfriend and say, sorry, I was a real son of a donkey, you know? But I can pray for her every day and say, God, I'm sorry I treated her that way, right? So our amends takes on different shapes in our lives. But it's to make us children of God. Know that we're beloved of the Father. Beloved in Jesus. You know how the words go now to the... You probably don't memorize the absolution formula like I have to, right? God, the Father of mercies, through the death and resurrection of His Son, has poured out the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Trinity's in there shouting for you, go, kid, go, come to the sacrament, come and receive this, come and be blessed, come and be filled with love, come and know mercy that is bigger than the universe. Come and receive this gift. This is why I'm a little bit, you know, when you look at everything like that, you go back and you go like, man, if you rip off, say your act of contrition and somebody says, God have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, and I'm thinking like, you don't know where you're at. Okay, so if you're going to use a short one like that, at least think about what all is happening. In the early church, they used to say you could only go to confession once. Because after your baptism, turning your back on Jesus with a mortal sin is saying, your death and resurrection don't count. Okay? Over the years, we've learned there's a lot more going on inside of human beings, you know, and we need this support. So go to confession at least once a year, if for no other reason to say, this is how I am in my journey from sin to loving God, right? That's all about turning from sin and turning toward God, so it's a good time to go to confession. And when you and I come there, even with its venial sins, we know that the Lord is saying, just a second, stay here. Let me warm your heart in my love and my mercy. And I'm going to come to you way beyond your strength, way beyond your ability to love, and help you on your journey home. When St. Thomas takes this up, and his stuff is the best stuff on this that I've ever found, he says, you and I really have a force superpower, faith, hope, charity. The fourth superpower that he mentions, and that's not the end of his list, is penance. All life long, you and I are called to turn from sin and to turn from God. And to fall in love with God is the deepest, deepest, deepest journey of our hearts. And so all of our life long, you and I ought to be growing in the virtue of penance. And he calls it an infused virtue. That makes it a superpower. God is at the center of that, not just me avoiding hell, not just me paying my debt. I think that's enough for today. It's about our hearts. It's about God in our hearts. It's about gifts that only God can give. And you and I are called to stir into flame. Amen.